One of the first things people told me about when I decided to run was, are you going to change your name? Because it's Suhas Subramaniam, but that's a really complicated name to say and read, and then people might not remember it. So what are you going to do about that? Maybe you should change your name to Sam. You know, I felt like part of winning wasn't just winning, but winning as me, as who I am and what, where I come from, and my name was a big part of that.
That was Suhas Subramanian, who made history on November 5th when he became the first Hindu and Indian American elected to the Virginia House of Delegates. Welcome to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices, where we explore the beliefs shaping our world, influencing our culture, and driving the headlines. I'm your host, Amber Khan. On election night 2019, Democratic Governor Ralph Northam emerged jubilant.
Do you like the color blue? Because I'm here to officially declare today, November the 5th, 2019, that Virginia is officially blue. Congratulations.
It was a stark contrast earlier this year when the embattled governor faced calls for his resignation as images of him in blackface emerged. But that scandal didn't damage Northam as many predicted. Instead, he celebrated a historic realignment in Richmond. Not since 1994 have Virginians entrusted Democrats with control of both houses of the Virginia Assembly. While some argue election night results reflect President Trump's declining support, many point to the demographic shifts that have taken place across the country, citing immigration and voter turnout among millennials and Generation Z. According to an analysis by Capital News Service, youth turnout in Virginia increased by 91%, nearly doubling the 2015 turnout.
Throughout this campaign, we have really worked hard to empower high school students and middle school students, young people, to be a part of that process, to realize the stakes that are out there for their own futures.
That's Abrar Omeish. At 24 years old, she is a millennial and the youngest woman to hold an elected position in Virginia's history. Omeish also made news along with Ghazala Hashmi, Lisa Zargapur, and Bhuta Bibi Raj, who together became the first Muslim women elected to office in Virginia. In this week's episode, we take a closer look at how a new generation of young elected leaders in Virginia are bringing their various identities into public service at a time when the country is deeply divided. We'll unpack the latest research on those divides with the Public Religion Research Institute's founder, Dr. Robert Jones, later in this episode. But first, we start this week with Subramanian, and we begin with his American origin story.
My mother wanted to be a doctor, and so did my father, and they felt like being a doctor in the U.S. was a better situation than being a doctor in India. They saw the United States as a better life and a great place to raise a family, and so that's why they came here. My mother in particular, you know, she felt like being a woman and being a doctor in India, you know, some of her family was not accepting of that, and so she felt like coming to the United States, it would be much more accepted here, and so, you know, America's given us everything, and I was born here, but I still remember my Indian roots and, you know, Indian
traditions. Did you go back to India often?
As a kid, yeah, all the time, every summer. But, you know, it's still, you know, a place that, you know, is near and dear to me. When I first started to run, I thought of myself as someone who had a lot of experience. I'd worked in every branch of government. I was an attorney, but I was tech savvy. I had a lot to offer. I knew the community and the community issues really well. But I never thought of myself as the Indian American candidate or the Hindu candidate until I started running and people told me I'm the Hindu candidate or I'm the Indian American candidate.
So what does it feel like personally when you decided to step into public service? How important did those aspects of your identity become?
The district that I represent, and really Northern Virginia generally, has a huge South Asian population. And so the South Asian community has never had anyone elected in the 400-year history of Virginia to the General Assembly. You know, I was the first to be elected to the House of Delegates. Ghazala Hashmi, an amazing candidate, she was elected to the state Senate down in the Richmond-Henrico area. You know, I think that there were some advantages, but there were some disadvantages. One of the first things people told me about when I decided to run was, are you going to change your name? Because it's Suhas Subramaniam, maybe Suhas Subramaniam if you're Indian. But that's really complicated name to say and read, and then people might not remember it. So what are you going to do about that? Maybe you should change your name to Sam or something that people can actually say. And, you know, I felt like part of winning wasn't just winning, but winning as me, as who I am and what, where I come from. And my name was a big part of that. So I kind of resisted those types of changes. My wife, she grew up Mormon. I grew up Hindu, but we go to...
Oh, wow. So you have a multi-faith family.
Absolutely.
In the works here.
Yeah. But we go to Unitarian church. We sometimes go to Episcopalian church. I still go to the temple sometimes. My wife loves coming. Even though, identifies as Hindu and, she's kind of identifies as non-denominational, we love going to different places of faith. And so it was interesting to then become the Hindu candidate or become the Indian candidate, because I've always seen myself as, kind of open-minded and accepting and being a part of lots of different communities instead of just one.
Subramanian was elected by advocating for a shared agenda that cut across identity lines, issues like traffic and safe schools. He was struck by the perception that they were not resonant.
And I had other candidates come to me and say, how do I get the Indian vote, as if I was someone who, just had them all in my back pocket. But the truth is, Indian Americans and Hindu Americans, they have the same concerns as non-Indians, non-Hindus, which is, they just want the traffic in Northern Virginia to be better. They want to make sure that their schools are safe and fully funded. Everyone has the same issues, regardless of their background, it seems.
But Subramanian was mindful of perceived religious tensions, especially between Hindus and Muslims. So he addressed it head on.
I made it a point to still go to the mosque every week and make sure that people knew that I was going to be representing them regardless of who I was running against. And I made sure that, I went to churches. I didn't go to my corner and say, I'm the Hindu candidate. All Hindus vote for me. All Indian Americans vote for me. I felt it was incredibly important to not define myself and to make sure everyone felt like they were accepted by my leadership. There's so many ways where we can divide ourselves. There's even within Indian American, there's Telugu and Tamil and Punjabi. Even within the Tamil community or Telugu community, there's different castes. There's lots of ways to divide ourselves, but my message has always been, I will represent you regardless of where you come from, who you are. People in Northern Virginia are incredibly smart, and they will not vote just based on party line most of the time. They will take into consideration who you are, but more importantly, whether you are there for them, whether you're coming to their HOA meetings, whether you're coming to their functions, whether you're coming and talking to them and listening to them. I think that's a big reason why people, voted for me, was because, I, with the help of my team, we reached out and we told people we will be there for you. I put my phone number on everything I sent out and still, make it public so people, if they want to call me, they can. But I think the biggest challenge will be people aren't always going to agree with me. And there's a very big agenda that the Democratic Caucus is going to put together, a very bold agenda on gun violence, on education, on ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment. People may not agree on, where I vote on those issues, especially if you're, maybe a strong Republican, a strong conservative. But what I say to them is, call me. Tell me why I'm wrong. I want to solve gun violence. I want to make sure schools are fully funded. If you've got a better plan for it, I'm open to it.
There is a lot of divisiveness, and there's a lack of trust in institutions, in media, in elected leaders, in religion. Mm-hmm. I mean, the big institutions that when we think of in our society that are part of what make us a civil society in the Western liberal democratic kind of framework, trust is an important, soft, but critical value that holds and knits us together. Sure. Trust is really low right now. What is it that you intend to do to demonstrate and build trust, and with whom?
I think we can start with the democratic processes. So in Virginia, for instance, you can donate however much you want to a campaign. There are no limits on contributions. So if someone wants to start a company in Florida and then donate $5 million to a House of Delegates race, they can do that. There's no restrictions on that as long as
they... Do you have concerns with that?
I have huge concerns with that. It makes it easy to undermine our democratic process here in Virginia. And it basically makes all candidates have to rely on those types of contributions. And winning or losing ends up being dependent on the money, the incredible amount of money that comes in and flows into Virginia. And so the pressures then are to cater to those interests. That's the truth of it. And there are a lot of other issues. They've made it very hard to vote in Virginia. I think we should make it easier to vote. We should have no excuse absentee balloting. And then we need to fix the people's experience with government. So if you go to the DMV and you have to wait for 4 hours, you stop to trust your government institutions. And so then when there's a regulation coming down on healthcare, you say, well, look at my experience at the DMV. Do I really trust the government with healthcare?
How does the immigration debate, as it is unfolding, from detention, deportation, and enforcement. How do all of those federal actions influence what you're hearing on the ground and what you're seeing in your district in Virginia?
You know, I think right now the federal government needs to do comprehensive immigration reform. They need to solve some of these issues. But given the gridlock that's happening, especially on that issue, the states need to step up and they need to do what they can. And I think it's the responsibility of the Virginia state government and the governor to step in and basically restore humanity to the process. These detention centers are inhumane, and whatever I can do, whatever the state government can do to address that issue, I think is great. And the other thing is, you know, we have a lot of people who are in limbo right now, a lot of people who want green cards, who've come here legally, a lot of people who feel like they aren't a part of the American experience, even though they ought to be. And so in the meantime, we need to pass protections for them. We need to be able to, for people to get driver's licenses. You can't get around Northern Virginia without, getting a driver's license, for instance. But it's incredibly difficult to do so, especially if you're undocumented. And so while the federal government figures out how to get to a solution on this, I think the states have to step in.
Where do you stand on efforts to reduce the sanctuary protections for houses of worship that are giving refuge to undocumented workers and undocumented families that are seeking to avoid deportation?
I really feel like those sanctuaries are incredibly important. Again, you know, while Congress is figuring out what to do, we need to make sure that we protect each other and protect our neighbors. That's who they are. They are our neighbors right now. And so we need to understand the humanity and put ourselves in their shoes.
Do you think that the tensions that have emerged between people of faith in the quote-unquote culture wars, I hate that phrase, but Everyone knows what you mean when you say it. Do you think that that has changed as a new generation of young people have left their parents' religious traditions or are doing what you're doing, which is exploring a variety of traditions?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. I just know my experience, which is, I think a lot of my neighbors who, you know, wouldn't identify as Hindu like I do, or who wouldn't, you know, consider dabbling as something that they would want to do, they're still accepting of our choices. And so I'm living in a bubble in Northern Virginia, but I feel like everyone's happy and accepting of each other when it comes to religion. And we've made a lot of progress in Virginia, and I want to make sure our policies continue that.
Suha Subramanian was elected on November 5th, 2019 to represent Virginia's 87th district. This has Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices. Thank you for listening. I hope you're enjoying this week's show. I wanted to take a short break to tell you a few things about Inspired that you may not know. Our show was founded by a nun named Maureen Fiedler, who in the days after 9/11 saw a need for a national broadcast that would explore the rich diversity of beliefs among Americans. Since then, our commitment to creating and producing compelling radio has never wavered, nor has our commitment to making it available to everyone for free. No paywalls ever. But it's not free to produce this show, and we don't receive any funds from National Public Radio or the local stations that carry us. So I need to ask you for your support. If you enjoy Inspired, if you value it and count on it, please consider donating today. You can do that on our website at interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. And thank you for your support. Now, back to the show.